Bible to Acts 15 this evening. Acts chapter 15, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through, actually, go ahead and finish out the paragraph there with verse 18. 13 through 18. Now, Brother Matt Black and his wife have written a song, and he's going to sing it. They wrote the words. I think you wrote the music to it, Brother Matt. So he's going to sing that for our special tonight before we bring the message. Let's stand together, please. Acts 15, 13 through 18. Let's read this responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you please join me on the even-numbered verses? The Bible says, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." Our Father, our hearts have been blessed tonight to see Your work in the part of the world known as Spain. Thank You, God, for those souls who've been saved and taught and discipled, baptized, and, Lord, are serving You. And I pray for the new work in Madrid that You'll bless it abundantly. Lord, I pray that You'll help us here to be busy about Your business, occupying until You come. Speak to our hearts tonight through the message of the song and the sermon to follow, and we'll be careful to thank You, dear Father, for it in advance. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Every people from every nation need to hear the truth. Who will tell them of the Savior? Is God calling you? Thousands are dying every day now, with no hope or light. How can we stand by without telling of Christ's great sacrifice? Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Only Christ can set men free from their sins for all eternity. Who will go for the Lord? Who will preach His word? Who will tell the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord? We have family, we have neighbors who do not know Christ. Time is short now, and we must tell them of eternal life. They need Jesus, their sins forgiven, a change in their life, for without Him they are dying with no hope inside. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Only Christ can set men free from their sins for all eternity. We must go for the Lord. We must preach His word. We must tell the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord.
enjoyed the song. I enjoyed seeing a Sunday school teacher with the wordless book some years ago. I'd like to be that lady in heaven someday. Amen. Who faithfully taught Matt. That's a blessing. Brother Matt has a display in the foyer. Be sure and go by and take a prayer card. You and your wife made a tape. Do you have any copies with you? Okay, good. Talk to Matt about that. Good music. He and his wife sings beautifully too. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Brother Matt. Perfect song for this evening. Perfect song for the subject of my message tonight. I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject, God's program for this age. I want you to look at verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. God's program for this age. And let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for the wonderful song. Just blessed our hearts. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. May that be our attitude, mentality. We may not stand behind a desk, a pulpit, in a church auditorium and preach, but we certainly can witness everywhere we go the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. And I pray that You, Lord, bless this church, bless this mission effort of Brother Black and his other friends. Then, Lord, bless the next 4 weeks as we enter into a time of concentrating to get folks to come to church by invitation and soul winning. And I pray, Lord, that You'll give us a wonderful fall for the name of Jesus, for His sake. And I'll thank You for it in advance for Your help for this message tonight. And amen. With all that's going on around the world today, the question, what is God doing in this age, might cross your mind. Now, it could be a temptation to look around and try to judge the Bible by what you see around you. Don't take that approach. Instead, always judge what is going on around you by what is written in the book. What is written in the book is not going to change. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. What is God doing today? Well, I can say unequivocally that His program for this age is unchanged from what it was in the first century as recorded for us in the book of Acts. As we read about them moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You see, God's person never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always will be. But His program changes. His approach in working with men has changed from dispensation to dispensation down through time. Now, we're not ultra-dispensationalists. We do not believe that parts of the Bible were written for certain peoples and therefore are no good to us. It may not all be about us, but it is all to us. Amen. And Timothy was told by Paul, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we're not ultra-dispensationalists, but we do realize that God works in different ways from dispensation to dispensation. For instance, His program today does not involve animal sacrifices, dietary laws, amen. Good catfish is good every now and again. Come on. And a pork chop like I had last night. Amen. Can't beat that. Amen. Brian Sharp was passing through Friday. He pulled in the house about 8:30. He'd called and said, could I stay overnight with you? That's no problem to us. We love Brother Sharp. And we were talking about, oh man, everything, anything and everything. And they're talking about Brother Roloff and all his anti-pork and everything, you know. And Dr. Howells walked up on him one day somewhere, I think at an airport restaurant. Here sat Lester Roloff, and I mean, he was eating pork chops and mashed potatoes and gravy. And Brother Howell said, Brother Roloff. And he said, Brother Jack, everybody has to backslide every now and again a little bit, amen. And Brother Howell said, I'd rather see my mother drunk, amen, than to see Lester Roloff eating pork and so forth and so on. I'm glad we're not under those dietary laws. Those feast days and so forth. Those were put aside when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Now, don't mistake the moral law for ceremonial law. Some people say that Christ put away all the moral law of the Old Testament. God never changes. His morality is the same. Amen. But anyway, His program today does not involve those things, all right? His dispensation, they change from dispensation to dispensation. Now, He's still very much, I missed the phrase here, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me say this, His program today does not involve primarily the nation of Israel. Now, I just talked last Sunday night and made reference to it again this morning. I think part of what we just witnessed out in the Gulf Coast is because we were part of that roadmap to peace thing that deported the Jews off their homeland. God's primary work is not with Israel, but He's still very protective of His people. Very protective of His people. Very protective of His people. We were talking, Brother Brian reminded me about this. In April, President Bush met with some evangelical pastors, some like Joel Osteen, whose church does not allow the word sin. And I'll talk about that real. We don't have the word sin around here. We don't talk about the word sin. I don't know what it does with half the Bible, but anyway, and so forth. Some leading evangelical pastors and so forth. And he was having a meeting, and he was concerned that his roadmap to peace would meet with much disdain among American Christians. He was concerned about that. And in so many words, they assured him that they would do their best to be verbally public about their endorsement of the roadmap to peace and so forth and so on. And come hell or high water, President Bush, we will back this thing for you and encourage the people that we preach to do the same. And Jim Vineyard, I read the email. I threw it away. I wish I had it. Jim Vineyard wrote President Bush a letter, and he said, I understand that you were given some counsel from some evangelical preachers that come hell or high water, we're going to try to get the Christians in America to be behind the roadmap to peace. He said, get ready for hell and high water. He wrote that in April. We're in the driest drought since the Dust Bowl in the breadbasket of this country. And the heat's still on. 96 degrees today, 90-something tomorrow, and the day after that, so forth and so on. There's your hell, and we know where the high water's been. You see, God's primary work is not with His people, right? Israel right now. But He's still very protective of His people, all right? He still very much watches over Him, but they're not His primary focus until the tribulation period. We're not in the tribulation period yet. In fact, we won't ever be in the tribulation period. We'll be gone. That 70th week of Daniel chapter 9 can't start until we're gone. That last 7-year period of God working with His people, the tribulation, it can't begin until you and I are out of here. Now, what is God's program today? It is spelled out for us in the book of Acts. Acts is a vital book to a New Testament church. It is a transitional book. And you must always read it with that in mind or it will confuse you. Much heresy is founded in the book of Acts. Much heresy is founded in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. If you don't approach it with the thought in mind, it's a transitional book. It's a transition from law to grace. From Peter to Paul, from Jew to Gentile, from Israel to the church. Let me give you just a brief reminder. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus commissioned His disciples to go and preach the gospel to the world. Where did He encourage them? Or not encourage, where did He command them to start? At Jerusalem with the Jews. In Acts chapters 1 through 7, the message of Christ is preached almost exclusively to Jewish people. There were some Gentile proselytes in Acts chapter 2 who heard the gospel of Christ and they got saved. But they were at Jerusalem on a Jewish feast day when they got saved. So Gentile proselytes. In Acts chapter 8, the message goes to the Samaritans. People who were half Jewish. In Acts chapter 9, the man who would become the apostle to the Gentiles got saved on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 10, a Gentile hears the message of Christ and is born again and his household. In Acts chapter 11, the first Gentile church is established in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 are sent as the first missionaries from this Gentile church. And it is on this journey that you clearly see the new direction of God's program for this age. Look at chapter 13 and look at verse 45. It's just one page back. Chapter 13 and verse number 45. Notice here what the Bible says. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, because Jesus commanded it, right? But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Do you see that? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Oh, sure they were. And I'm still glad today. That's God's program. Now, a controversy crops up between Paul and the Jewish fathers back in Jerusalem. Oh, the controversy is centered around this question. Should Paul's Gentile converts be required and expected to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved? And with a resounding no, that question was settled. And the same is true today. You can't keep the law to get saved. Like I told the car dealership owner, God never gave us the Ten Commandments to make us try to keep them. He gave them to show us we can't keep them and we need a Savior. And so forth and so on. Now they have a big powwow in this conference. And you come to chapter 15, our text, and verse number 13, James, who's the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He stands and he begins to speak to the folks that have gathered. And he sums up God's program for this age in verse number 14. He says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. What is God's program for this age? What is a program? It is a plan to reach a desired end. A program has a starting point and an ending point. Like you have a radio program or a television program. It has a beginning and an ending. When you go to an event like a wedding or a banquet or something like that, you're given a program that tells you what will happen next. From the Word of God, in this chapter, we see that God's program for this age is threefold. I'll get into that in just a minute. Let me say this by way of introduction as I conclude the introduction tonight. We see that God's program today is not to bring in the kingdom. We are not bringing in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That is all, folks. That's in the future. We've got to go to heaven. We've got to take part in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've got to be at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. We've got to be there. And then the tribulation period's got to run its course before Jesus sets up His kingdom. We are not setting up the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're not kingdom builders. We're not ushering in it. By the way, God's program is not one of humanitarian aid either. It's not one of teaching people how to grow corn, irrigate their crops, build buildings. All those things are fine and dandy. But His program is threefold here in verse number 14. And the smart thing for a New Testament church in 2005 is to make sure that our program lines up with God's. Churches get in trouble when they get away from God's program. Now, we've got to stay on course with God's program. Let me show it to you tonight quickly, and I'm hurrying through this because I want to save time for the other things tonight. Number one, God's program is a visitation program. It's a visitation program. Look at what He said here. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Now, Simeon is a reference to Simon Peter. Okay? And James says, Peter here has told us how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. When did God first visit the Gentiles? It was in Acts chapter 10. Who was there? Peter was there. How did God visit the Gentiles? He did not go Himself. He recruited a man to go to Cornelius' house and visit there. You see, Cornelius was a Gentile soldier. He was a religious man. He was one who had a respect, if you will, a holy fear of God. He was unselfish. He prayed and he fasted, but he was lost. Cornelius needed God to visit him. And God did visit him through his ambassador, Simon Peter. Peter told him how to be saved. And Cornelius listened. And Cornelius got saved. And this is how God visits the Gentiles. He visits the Gentiles today through me. He visits the Gentiles through you. He visits the Gentiles in Spain through Brother Black and the other missionaries in that part of the country. He's going to visit the dear people of Madagascar, Lord willing, in a year and a half or two, as Ben and Ashley go there. That's how God visits Gentile people. He visits them through His saved children. Are you with me tonight? You see this here? A visitation program. You see, when we visit, we have unsaved family members. And we have unsaved co-workers, and we have unsaved friends, and we have unsaved neighbors, and people we meet on the doorstep or out on the street. And through us, God visits them when we talk to them in Jesus' name. You see, a visitation program. A visitation program. Now, the strength of a church should not be measured by its attendance. If that's true, then the strongest churches in the land are charismatic churches. And they're doctrinally incorrect on a lot of things. And I'll unashamedly say that many of them are lost and unsaved. They go to a service where the emphasis is on the Spirit. They're unsaved. And they pray to be filled with the Spirit. You don't get saved by praying to be filled with the Spirit. You get saved by coming to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repenting of your sin and coming to Him in faith. Now, the strength of a church should be measured by how many people are participating in God's program. A soul-winning visitation program in a local church is the closest thing to God's program we could possibly have. Now, we have other things beside that. And a lot of times what churches do is they'll get off on the minor and let the major thing go. If we're going to stay with God's program, folks, we've got to give attention to what is God's program for this age. His program is to visit the Gentiles. How does He visit the Gentiles? He visits them through us, through His people. You see, God wants to visit those who are lost, but He'll visit them through us. You see, God was already working in Cornelius' heart. He was already working in Cornelius' heart. He was a Gentile, and all the false gods of the Gentile world. And Cornelius had turned his back on all those false gods, as God began to work in that Gentile's heart through His Spirit, an angel of the Lord visited Cornelius and told him to call for Peter. But I want you to know, in the end, it was not the angel and it was not God who gave Cornelius the words of salvation. It was a living, breathing man that went to his house with the words of salvation. That's how Cornelius got saved. Sure, God was working on his heart. Sure, He was drawing him. Sure, He was convicting him. And that's how it works, friend. God begins to draw. And like I preached on Wednesday night, there are dry places all around us. Places where the working of God's Spirit is minimal. But then there are places that are damp. There are places that are wet, where the Spirit of God is raining and convicting, raining, not like a king, raining like water coming down on dry ground. He's softening the soil, preparing it for the seed of God's Word. And God will visit those people. He wants to visit those people, but He's not going to write it in the sky. An angel's not going to come down from heaven, and God Himself is not going there. He'll visit them through us. That's how He'll visit. Or they won't get visited. You see, the truth of the matter is, everybody should be involved in God's visitation program. Everybody. Now, those of you in leadership positions, you Sunday school teachers, you bus workers, people who stand up in front of folks with the Bible teaching about God, you ought to be involved, of course, in God's program. Look, I'm glad for all the peripheral things, folks. I'm glad for all the peripheral things. Listen very carefully. Everything that we've done for this building is peripheral. It's wonderful. It's great. But if we get lost in the cause of a building, a physical building, we're not on track with God's program. I'm glad for softball in the summer on Monday night. I'm glad for the Christian school, K through 12, Monday through Friday. I'm glad for all these opportunities. But if we don't stay on track with God's program, we're going to get off course. We'll go the way of how many churches that are nothing more than wax museums today. Spirit of God is gone. Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. We're not the world, in case you haven't noticed out there, the world's not full of good religious people who are wanting to be saved, just croaking to be. Most of the time, the folks who are wanting to be saved are the men. It's a down-and-out crowd. I'm glad we're getting them in. Down-and-out crowd gets saved. They won't stay down-and-out. We got to stay interested in God's program, involved in God's program. You see, you got the wrong approach to the church visitation. You think it's the church program. No, it's not. It's God's program. Not a program of Faith Baptist Church. It's God's program. He wants to visit people, but He's not going to write it in the sky. He's going to visit them as we go speak to them in Jesus' name. He's still visiting the Gentile world. Now, I probably on thin ice with some of the brethren, but maybe they won't hear the sermon. And if they do, I don't care. I think the days of the main harvest in America are over, Brother Matt. I think we're in the gleanings. I know Spain's in the gleanings. All of old Europe is dead, folks. It's dead. They're not anti-religious. They're a-religious. They don't believe there's a God. Nothing. Their churches are... how many thriving number-wise... Now, you saw a thriving work tonight, but how many in Spain? How many in Italy? How many in Germany? How many in France? How many in all those Scandinavian countries? How many times in 15 years have we had a missionary going to Denmark? It's the gleanings over there. There are places in the world where there is still a main harvest. Maria, I believe one of the places where there's a main harvest is the Philippines. I believe there's a main harvest in Mexico. The brown-skinned people of the world seem to be having the main harvest right now. Souls by the thousands coming to Christ. I think we're in the gleanings here in America, but God's program is still the same. He didn't say, cut the program out in 2005. He didn't say stop the program when you stop having the main harvest. He has given us the orders. We have the commandments. His program has not changed. It is the same today as it always has been since the book of Acts. It's a visitation program. And I've got to, as a pastor, I've got to watch all the things that are going on at Faith Baptist Church. All the things. And I've got to distinguish between what's peripheral and what's important. What is the main thing? And brother, I don't believe that soul winning visitation is the only thing to a church ministry, but I believe it is the main thing. Because it's God's program. It's a program of visitation. Tuesday's visitation day here. Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, the young people are going out. Several adults are going with them at 3:30 on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. Saturday morning, we go again. But I realize something. I realize that work schedules are much different today than they were 40 years ago. I remember, you know, I heard Jack Howell's soul-winning lecture, Let's Go Soul Winning. It wasn't the bestseller, but it was on a radio program or a record, wasn't it? And it got some kind of honor, national honor, because so many people listened to that Let's Go Soul Winning. But that was 40 years ago. Do you know what was happening 40 years ago in the late 50s and 60s? Men were working from 9 to 5 going home. Stores weren't open 24 hours a day. Companies didn't run 7 days a week. Most of the businesses on Sunday were closed. A lot of times you couldn't even get a gallon of gas on Sunday. When I was a boy, we've come a long way in the wrong direction. Now there's not the simple 40-hour work week from 8 to 4 or 8 to 5, 9 to 5 or 6 o'clock being home. People are going, 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 going. This is a mobile society. And I understand that some of you have work schedules now that make it completely impossible for you to get to a Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, or Tuesday evening, organized soul winning time. I understand that. Some of you don't get home till after hours. I know that. And then I know Saturday is a day for you to get things done around the house. And I appreciate the people who walk away from that to give an hour and a half or two or three to God on Saturday morning for His visitation program. I said His visitation program. It's not ours, it's His. I understand some can't do that. And I'm trying to rack my mind, Lord, what can we do to make it possible for God's people to be involved in His program? And He came up with an idea, and I threw it at Brother Caleb the other day. We're going to run with it, see how far we can go. We're calling it the SWAT program. Soul winning at alternative times. Soul winning at alternative times. Who's it for? It's for you. It's for people who can't make the Tuesday or Saturday meetings. Can't make the Tuesday or Saturday times. How does it work? It works just like this. It's very simple. Sunday night after church, Brother Caleb will have a brief meeting with those of you who want to be involved in this. And he'll pair you up. You'll get together with two people. And you will decide what time during the week you can meet. He'll give you prospects or an area to visit in. Now, if you're coming to Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, Saturday morning, I don't want you to stop that. We've got to keep those times going. We've got to keep those times going out there. But this is for people who honestly can't get to the Tuesday or Saturday soul winning opportunity. You'd like to meet with somebody. Maybe meet halfway. You live here. Your partner lives here. And you can meet. We got folks that are doing that right now. Wayne Irvin and Mike Vittick, they go on Saturday mornings. I give them an area. They go. They meet. They drive out. They knock doors. They have good visits. They pass tracks. They witness to people. And we're just going to try to broaden that and get you with somebody. Maybe you come with somebody already paired up. Hey, Brother Caleb. My partner and I can go at this time, and can we have a place or prospects to visit? Because we can go at this time on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday afternoon. We're not going to set the time. Let you set the time. You pick it. You get your partner. Let him take care of giving you an area. And that meeting is vitally important. Vitally important on Sunday nights. We have got to keep track of where we're going. Sometimes we get crossed up. You got Tuesday morning crowd, you got Tuesday afternoon crowd, you got Tuesday night crowd, and then you got some other people going. And man, sometimes folks go knock on doors like happened this past Tuesday on teenage visitation, and the poor guys knocked on the door, and the man came to the door and said, Faith Baptist, you guys have been here four times in the last 2 weeks. I mean, he was unhappy, and I don't blame him. If they came to my door four times in 2 weeks, I'd be a little unhappy too. That happens. That's why we've got to keep track of who's going where, when you're going, where you've been, morning or evening. But it's soul winning at alternative times. Why this outreach program? Because Faith Baptist Church has got to stay on track with God's program for this age. It is a visitation program. Visitation program. There are people who are making sacrifices already, folks. Folks who do without sleep sometimes to go to one of those Tuesday times. Saturday morning. Now is your opportunity tonight after this service to meet with this young man in the room and have it settled and get with somebody and go. We need some silent partners. You say, I'll go, but I don't know what to say. That's okay. A lot of folks do know what to say. The Bible example of two by two going out. The Bible is full of examples in the New Testament. Going out two by two, two by two. It's not safe to go by yourself anymore. It's not safe. Paul and Barnabas, and then Barnabas and John Mark, and Paul and Silas, two by two. You say, what is God's program for today? What is He doing? God's program for today has not changed. Since the book of Acts, we have no new orders. We have no new commands, folk. We're not supposed to gather the wagons or gather all the kids and the children and the adults and circle the wagons and hole up and hope for Jesus is coming tomorrow. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to go out and visit folk. God visits the Gentiles through His people. It's a visitation program. And if we keep on track, we'll have to make that the main thing around here and keep an emphasis. The main thing, the main thing, the main thing. Now let me say number two quickly, that God's program is not only a visitation program, it's a separation program. It's a separation program. Look at what it says here. To take out. Do you see those two words? Take out of them a people. You see, God's program for this day is a takeout program. It's a takeout program. When we go visit Gentile people and they get saved, God takes them out from among the Gentiles and places them in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Every Gentile convert in this room is a takeout. You've been taken out from amongst the Gentiles, and you've been buried with Christ, in Christ. It's a takeout program. We're all new creatures in Christ Jesus. By the way, once people are saved, and made new creatures in Christ, they need to be taught that they have been taken out. Taken out of the world. And they need to live unto God, separated from the world. You see, this matter of separation, it's a twofold thing, folks. It's a two-sided coin. This matter of separation is not just from the world. It is from the world unto God. There is a purpose for separation. I cannot draw close to God by bringing the filth of this world with me. I've got to leave it behind. Some things have got to change. Habits have got to be dropped. Dress standards have to be altered. Music has to be gone through and decided this is good and biblical and this is not. I've got to be separated from that. Why? Because I want to be separated unto God. And that's the purpose for every Gentile convert. It's a separation program. Soul winning and separation have been the two pillars of independent fundamental Baptist. Not just sometimes in the years gone by. Other denominations made those the pillars of their practice. Separation and soul winning. A visitation program. It's a separation program. Live like a new creature. Talk like a new creature. Dress like a new creature. Listen to music that's designed for a new creature. I'm bothered by the question, what's wrong with? I'm bothered by that question. Why are we looking for an answer to that question? Normally when we're looking for an answer to that question, it's because we're trying to hang on to something from the old way of life. It's hard for us to part with it. We don't want to give it up. So what's wrong with it? What's wrong with asking, how right can I be? How close can I get? How much fellowship can I have? How separated can I be? Not just from the world, but unto God. That is the purpose of this thing. We lose that as a church. We've lost our purpose. A Faith Baptist Church has been known for that through the years. Don't get tired of it. We're not hobby horse these things to death. You know that if you've been in church here over the years, we've attempted to have a balanced diet from God's Word. But it's going to continue to be preached that we're supposed to be a separated people in how we live, in how we dress, in the places we go. And I'll tell you something. The devil has thrown us a lot of curveballs over the past several years. A lot of curveballs. We never go to the movie theater to watch the movie because, man, that place is a pit of hell. But we'll go buy the same stinking movie and put it in our own living room. Separated. Separated from the world unto God. Man, I could never have gotten close to God. I got saved. But I could never have gotten close to God if I'd have brought all that stuff with me that I got saved out of. Some of that stuff had to be chiseled out of me. It takes time. On the other hand, I'm weary of Pharisees who expect people to be fully matured and developed in 4 weeks. Sick of that. Look down your long nose at somebody who's still battling a cigarette and smells like a chimney. May God always give us the smell of smoke in the auditorium of Faith Baptist Church. It means we're getting some people out. Brother, when we get so right, we have nobody that's imperfect. We're all in trouble. We might as well close up shop and go home. Separated. Separated. Separated in how I talk. Separated in how I live. Separated in my music. Separated in my entertainment. Separated in my dress. I wouldn't change my dress standards. I wouldn't change my Bible. I wouldn't change my music. I wouldn't change anything. I'd just keep on with what I've been taught was right. I wouldn't change a lick. You say, well, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. I wouldn't be worried about so-and-so. I'd be worried about what does the Lord say right here. Yeah? Separated from the world unto God. It's a visitation program. It's a separation program. That's what it is. A separation program. God said He visited them to take them out from the world unto Himself. And then I'm going to finish quickly. Let me say this tonight. God's program is not only a visitation program. A separation program, God's visitation, God's program is an identification program. I like the last three words of that verse right there. For His name. That's why we should be separated, folks, for His name's sake. You see, we need to be clearly identified as Christian. Christian. I-A-N. That little suffix, I-A-N, it means belonging to the family of, belonging to the country of. An Italian belongs to the country of Italy. An Egyptian belongs to the country of Egypt. An Indian belongs to the country of India. A Colombian belongs to the country of Colombia. A Brazilian, Brazil. An Arabian, part of the Arab family. A Christian belongs to the person of Christ. That's what that little suffix, it identifies us as a follower, a person of Jesus Christ. The world ought to be able to say, there goes a Christian. There goes a person who belongs to Christ. By the way, if you're a family member, wear your identity openly. Don't be ashamed of it. Just get bold about it. Get separated from the world under God. Don't let anybody change you. And don't walk around with your nose up in the air so high that you'll drown if it comes a storm. But wear it boldly. Don't be ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ and do it for His name's sake. His name's sake. It's an identification program. There goes a child of God. I work with the child of God. That lady is a child of God. There's something different about my neighbor. There's something different about my relative that goes to Faith Baptist Church. There's something different about that family who lives down the street. There's something different about those people. Yeah, they're Christian. They belong to the person of Jesus Christ. That's God's program. That's His program. It's a program of visitation. It's a program of separation. It's a program of identification. And friend, I don't find anywhere in this Bible where He has told us to amend or change. I don't have a Bible that was relevant for the 1800s and the early 1900s. We have a Bible that is relevant for 2005, right now. This has not taken God by surprise. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. He and He only knows the exact moment that Jesus Christ will descend to rapture us out of here. Until that time, our orders don't change. They don't change. I heard a little story. I wish I could remember it exactly. I might have mentioned it somewhere else. In fact, I might have mentioned it in church. I was at that Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. Boy, what a moving experience. If you've never seen that, you need to go if you get the chance. You need to go to D.C., period. It's a good place to be, see all the American, all the history of this country. It's tremendous. So for the song. So anyway, Arlington Cemetery. The changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Oh, it's impressive. And they come out and they have everybody stand. They make this big speech. Nobody says a word, please. Turn off all your cell phones. Amen. And nobody talking. And, that old guy's been walking that post, you know. Man, it's so precise. Precision. They put their feet in the exact same place every time. I mean, it is just, it's awesome to see that. But I am told, at this end of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you're watching up here, and they make the changing of the guard down here at this end. I'm told that when that Marine who's been on guard hands the rifle to the fellow who's taken his place, I'm told that he says something along the lines of this right here. Orders remain the same. Orders remain the same. And from generation to generation, since Acts chapter 15, God's program has remained the same. The next big thing on His calendar, folks, is the rapture and the tribulation period. We're not in it yet. But until that time comes, we've got to give attention His program. A program of visitation, separation, and identification. And Faith Baptist Church better stay on track with those things because that's His program. We can have the peripheral. I'll tell you what I've seen happen over the years, not just in this church, but in many, many churches. People love to get lost in the peripheral matters. I'm glad for the music. I'm glad for that band. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the main program. That's not the main program. That's not the main program. Those are peripheral things. They're wonderful and they're necessary and good. But that's not the main program. The main program is a visitation program
a separation program and an identification program. And orders remain the same. I'm going to encourage you, get in God's program. Not Faith Baptist Church, get in God's program. Find some time to get involved in His program. Be separated from the world unto Him. Be glad that you're saved and identify yourself with Jesus Christ unashamedly. You'll be glad you did. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I tried to hurry through that. I do not want to belabor the service too lengthy tonight. We have some other things to tend to. But I must have preached that tonight. Had to. Wanted to. Needed to. Who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody? Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this evening? All right, if you're here, you've been saved and not baptized. This is the time to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God bless you. A lady was saved this morning. Going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism tonight. That's wonderful. Where'd you come? Anybody else? I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Anybody? All right, very good. Now, child of God, you're saved, you're baptized. God's program for this age. What is God doing today? I'll tell you what God's doing. He's doing the same thing that He established in Acts chapters 9, 10 through the end of the book. He is reaping a harvest from the Gentile world. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you on track with God's program? Well, I sing in the choir. Are you on track with God's program? Well, I'm involved. Are you on track with God's program? His program is a visitation, a separation, identification. We don't need to be changing, folks. We don't need to be giving up our separation, separatist position as the days draw short. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Stand fast. Stand fast. Separated from the world, unto God. Identify yourself with Jesus. Be a Christian, one belonging to Christ. And help in that program of visiting the Gentiles and taking God with you to take out a people for His name. Our Father, I pray that You'll bless the efforts of this ministry. Lord, as we heard so ably tonight from Brother Black, this is our Jerusalem. This is our place. We ought not look for opportunities. They're all around us. We ought to pray for boldness. God, I pray that You'll fill us tonight with Your power afresh and anew. Give us a heart, dear Lord, to be involved in Your program. Your program for this age. Until Jesus comes and the tribulation begins, the orders remain the same. May we not alter them, please. Stay right on course. Now, thank You for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Did the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Do you need to give yourself back to soul winning and visitation? You used to go. You used to carry tracts. You used to show up. You know, maybe you can't be at the Tuesday times, but you can go during the week. You can find an hour. Find an hour and a half. Get a friend and go out and take part in God's program for this age. Huh? Why don't you recommit yourself tonight? Recommit yourself to your separatist position. Recommit yourself to identification with Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? Would you come? Would you come? I'd invite you to come. Would you please? Would you kneel before the Lord tonight? Ask God to give you a new fire, a new zeal, a new vision. Because His program has not changed. Would you come? For an altar call, would you come here before the Lord tonight? Take it out. A people for His name. Identify. bondage.